Good morning, I'm Dr. Vernon Grayson, professor of plant breeding here at Cornell University, and today we're going to talk about the science of plant breeding. Plant breeding is actually one of our oldest scientific disciplines, dating back literally thousands of years. Recently, about 20 years ago, new technologies, primarily biotechnology, have been developed, and along with biotechnologies, we have the occurrence and development of transgenic plants. The transgenic plant technology has really impacted and changed the face of plant breeding. So today we'll start by talking about the history of plant breeding, stretching back to when our crops were first domesticated, and ultimately we'll walk right through to the newest technologies and try to show how and how not to implement these technologies into our discipline. Agriculture actually started about 10,000 years ago, when humans began to domesticate wild plant species to develop our crops that we know today. And actually, all of the crops that we grow today did not occur naturally in the wild. They were all selected and developed by humans. Starting 10,000 years ago, wheat and barley were domesticated in the Middle East, the Near East. Squash, beans, chili peppers, and maize were domesticated in Mesoamerica about 7,000 years ago, and actually 5,000 years ago, the Chinese grew five sacred crops, soybeans, rice, wheat, barley, and millet. They're actually distinct centers of origins for most of our crop species, and as you can see on this graphic, there are a series of centers of origins identified for most of our major domestic crops. There are several changes that took place during this process of crop domestication. Changes such as loss of seed dispersion mechanisms, so that the seed would not shatter and blow away in the wind or fall down onto the ground. A loss of seed dormancy, so that once the seed was harvested, it could be replanted and crops grown in the next cycle. Changes in plant habitat, particularly increases in seedling vigor, and increases in seed yield, and more importantly, changes in adaptation for taste and food utilization. Although these changes appear to be very, very major and resulted in quite dramatic differences in our crop species from their wild progenitors, genetically these changes are rather simply inherited. There are relatively few genes involved, and genes at relatively few sites or loci, as we'll explain in a few minutes. A little bit about genetics and loci. This means that domestication could occur very rapidly. However, during the time when crops were domesticated, our human populations were changing dramatically. Our human populations were changing from hunters and gatherers and nomadic tribal populations into more settled, civilized, sedentary populations. And so actually the process of crop domestication took place over several hundreds and probably a couple of thousand years. So an example of some of the crops that were domesticated, show in the current slide, wheat, which actually never existed in nature. Humans selected a type of durum wheat, crossed it with goat grass, and produced bread wheat. So there is no natural or wild bread wheat population. Maize was developed from crosses involving a primitive progenitor, Teosinte. And as you can see, the maize ear looks quite different from the fruit of the Teosinte plant. And tomatoes were developed. Original tomatoes were very, very small, bitter, often toxic fruit. And through human development and selection, we developed bigger, riper, fleshier, and more tasty tomatoes. Right, so basically, that's how our major crops were created. They were selected and domesticated by man. Next, we'll talk about classical plant breeding, which was really born with the discovery of genes and the beginning of the science of genetics.